Your recently published annual report, I understand it's in its ninth year, it's about who finances the fossil fuels industry. And it suggests that over the last year, there's been a backslide, that we had made some improvements. Banks were investing less. But under the first year of the Trump administration, those numbers went up.
That's sadly right. Yes, after the Paris Agreement was signed at the end of 2015, we saw in 2016 that there was a drop in about just over 20% in funding from the biggest banks to the worst fossil fuels. We hoped that was going to be the start of a long-term trend, but unfortunately, last year, and you know, I think linked to the election of Trump, but also sadly the what's going on in Canada under Justin Trudeau, we saw an increase. It was about an 11% increase last year. We're looking at 36 of the world's biggest global banks, and we're looking at what we call extreme fossil fuels, which are the dirtiest, the most carbon-intensive fossil fuels, which have the biggest local impact, local environmental and social impact, and also which are the most economically marginal. So that's tar sands oil that's coming out of Canada, also ultra-deep water offshore oil, Arctic oil, coal mining and coal power, and then also these big liquefied natural gas export terminals, which are coming up along our coasts.
Well, it's my understanding that the Jordan Cove project, which I believe is one of your case studies in this report, it brings the region that I call home into play. What is Colorado's supposed market interest here?
Well, the market interest in Colorado is that the frackers in Colorado need exports for their products. You know, the country is awash in natural gas right now, and that's creating problems for the frackers because, you know, prices are really low, so they need to find more markets. And the only way to do that with natural gas from the U.S., apart from a couple of pipelines going down into Mexico, but other than that, they got to find a way to put it on tankers and ship it overseas. And the way of doing that is to build these huge liquefied natural gas terminals where they supercool the natural gas and turn into a liquid and then stick it on these massive ships that are customized for the job and then send it off to China, and those are trying to send it to Eastern Europe, Baltic Republics. And so while Colorado obviously has no coastline to build a big export terminal, it's very linked in that this is part of the natural gas industry strategy, keep the price up and create market for their product.
Can you talk about the criteria used to work up grades for these firms?
In our annual Green Fossil Fuel Report Card, we research how much money in terms of lending and underwriting is coming from the banks into these different categories and for the major companies in these different categories. And then we also rank the banks, give them A to F grades according to their policies in these different categories. And basically, to simplify, A means a total exclusion. The banks will not fund any projects or any companies involved in these sectors. And then an F means they basically don't have any policy. And not surprisingly, we don't have any banks worldwide that get an A. But we do have a B grade, and we have quite a few C grades. And we do see a process sort of gradually every year. We see a sort of a ratcheting up where many of the banks are slowly increasing their policies in some sectors. It's a gradual process, but overall an encouraging trend. Especially happening with European banks. We had a couple of big announcements from European banks last year, including BNP Paribas, which is the parent company of Bank of the West in this country. They're the second biggest bank in Europe, but they came up with a policy that pretty much stopped their lending to tar sands and to a lot of coal companies. So that was very encouraging. We're pushing U.S. banks to go in the same direction.
Against the backdrop of an increase in fossil fuel investment, how does that look in relation to the investment levels for cleaner and renewable sources of energy? Is there as much economic zeal going into projects like that?
We don't research the numbers in this report, and overall, there is a lot of money going into clean energy worldwide. Numbers showed last year that there was more solar power installed last year than there was coal power around the world. Solar and wind together were by far the largest source of new energy worldwide. So clean energy is happening, and so a lot of money is going into it, although sort of somewhat contradictory, but some years the amount of money going into clean energy is dropping, but that's not because less clean energy is getting installed. It's just clean energy is getting so cheap that it doesn't require so much money. And even the U.S. banks that have a pretty abysmal record on these extreme fossil fuels, they are coming up with pretty ambitious targets on clean energy. There is definitely hundreds of billions of dollars are going into the clean energy sector, not really, specifically because these banks are fabulously environmentally responsible, but just because it's a big part of the economy now. Projects are economically viable and the banks can make money from funding.
You're going to be participating in a panel at the Dairy Center on the 23rd. What is it that you hope folks attending are going to come away from the experience, and can you give us a feel for what the heart of the dialogue is going to be?
Yeah, this will be a really interesting debate, discussion. We've got a few people coming that work on the sort of socially responsible investment side of things. And these are, there's some what's called socially responsible investment that really is not particularly green or socially responsible, but these are three people with some very progressive companies and have a really interesting perspective. And one is just the importance of finance in terms of the energy transition and respect for human rights and social justice and so on. So one thing is just discussing how important finance is, and that's a broader discussion, but also some of the really good work that's happening with some of these socially responsible investors in terms of how to screen out all the fossil fuels and socially problematic companies on portfolios, and how to invest in some really positive initiatives, and even doing things like working with social justice organizations to steer investment communities. And yeah, I think there'll be a lot of interesting discussion. Our main campaign target is JP Morgan Chase, and JP Morgan Chase comes through very strongly in our research as the worst of the U.S. banks and one of the very worst banks in the world in terms of funding these extreme fossil fuels. They are, over the last 3 years, the third worst bank in the world, and actually in the last year, the second worst in the world after Royal Bank of Canada, who has a tar sands investment. JP Morgan is very big in all these extreme fossil fuel categories, and not only are they extremely bad, but they're going in completely the wrong direction. And last year, they increased their funding in tar sands by four times.
Yep.
And in coal financing, they increased it by 111%. They increased funding to coal mining 21 times from the previous year. They have a policy which says they should be reducing their exposure to coal mining, which is a couple of years old. And we thought, 2016, that they were doing that. But last year, they suddenly hiked their coal mining lending and underwriting. And then in tar sands, they quadrupled their financing last year. So they're a big problem.
I've been talking with Patrick McCulley, Climate and Energy Director from the Rainforest Action Network. For more information, you can visit their website at ran.org. For KGNU, this is Robin Ryan.